Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague, Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, long the assistant to the senior assistant to the Secretary of State traveling in the Trump first term, and before that, many years in Asia with the Wall Street Journal editorial page, traveling the rise of the miracle of China. We begin, however, with the State Department's attention to none of the above. Venezuela, much in the news these last days, including a phone call, we're told, without a readout, of the President of the United States to the illegitimate dictator of Venezuela, a man by the name of Maduro, who inherited his brutality from a man named Chavez, who died of cancer very early in life. Maduro has maintained his authority with thuggery, theft, and the help of outsiders such as Moscow and Beijing. He also has Cuba to thank because I'm told over the years Cuban state security was a big part of his enforcement. So much so that 7 to 9 million Venezuelans have fled the country to Brazil, to Colombia, some to the United States. I know all this because I routinely every week interview one of the opposition figures who was jailed in the first arrest, mass arrest by Maduro after the stolen election in 2024. There was a momentary amnesty, and my colleague, Alejandro Pina Esclusa, bugged out smartly and is in Europe. However, there is good news, and the good news includes that in these next days, Maria Corina Machado, the leader of the opposition, will receive the Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo, Norway. And I think all of Venezuela that's not tied down will be there. It will be quite a celebration. However, none of the above is the immediate concern I need attended to by Mary. It's how State Department approaches a matter where there's a fleet gathered off the coast of Venezuela, where not unlike an ultimatum has been delivered to Maduro, leave the country, where the opposition has a president to move into the palace on the first day, and where the 7 to 9 million people who have fled Venezuela are waiting for the United States to dislodge the dictator and his brutes. Mary, this looks like a very good formula for success. However, I'm unaware of how the process works at state. This is jaw-jaw, not war-war. Is there some extraordinary meeting that goes on at state when you're on the eve of a large change? This would not affect just Venezuela, which is a large and once prosperous state, but all of South America will be affected by this decision making when and if it comes. We're told that the president and his national security team are all hands on deck. How does it go at state, Mary? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It's great to be with you. Well, I think, you know, first, just to sort of lay the foundation, I think, as we discussed last week, we're getting a better sense of what the president's goals are here, which ultimately guide the State Department and all of the cascading decisions afterward. And as that call that was leaked suggests, the president wants Maduro gone. And probably short of that, he wants some sort of deal with Maduro to curb drug trafficking and other illicit activities, of which there are many in Venezuela, perpetrated not just by the Venezuelans, but by the Cubans, the Iranians, the Russians, and others. So that's the first thing that state looks to, which is what is presidential intent. The second thing, it really isn't second. I mean, this is always state's highest priority, is the safety and security of American citizens. Now, the U.S. Embassy in Caracas is closed, has been for many years, which means that we rely on other nations to assist Americans in distress if they remain in the country. But that's always state's primary concern. The second is, of course, rallying support for the U.S. strategic goals, as I just laid out. And that would involve not just the neighboring countries, but also international organizations and countries of the Caribbean who, you know, might see refugees, or Central American and countries and Mexico that also may see refugees from a conflict. Although, of course, many people who are able to flee Venezuela have already done so. And then I think, you know, thirdly, it would be to help the president and other cabinet officials, you know, understand, but also achieve their goals with these other allies. I mean, when the Defense Department says, you know, we're going to go in and we're going to do X, Y, or Z, they focus on the operational mission, not necessarily what happens afterward, right? That's the job of the State Department and the National Security Advisor, which happens to be the same person in Marco Rubio, which is to think through kind of the strategic implications and what's the end state that we want to see. It's, you know, likely a free and democratic Venezuela that would be an anchor for freedom, not just in South America, but in Central America as well, and potentially in Cuba, because Cuba is heavily involved in Venezuela. And if the Venezuelan people reclaim their democracy, it might give the Cuban people courage again to try to reclaim their democracy. So that's the State Department's role in a nutshell. But we're, again, at very early stages, because we're only now starting to see the presidential intent, which is the first step.
Too many villains, too little time. We go to Russia. The State Department in Russia is a long and storied episodes begin with John Quincy Adams to the court of St. Catherine the Great in the 18th century, Quincy Adams being the smartest man who ever occupied the office of president, as in he had all the languages. That's what I regard smart. But in any event, J.Q. Adams, think of him always in Moscow. That was the standard we established early on in the Russian Empire. Now we have this headline, Trump envoys to meet Putin to push U.S. peace plan for Ukraine. Subhead, Wall Street Journal, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner's visit to Moscow follows revisions to the original peace proposal they drafted with Russian input. Again, jaw better than war, Mary. I follow Churchill on this. What do we anticipate of these conversations with Moscow? We do have a history of talking to Moscow and getting the opposite result.
Well, Putin is very good at creating problems and then offering to solve them. And that's, of course, what he's done here with the brutal war that he has waged on Ukraine, not just on Ukrainian soldiers, but, of course, on innocents like women and children and other civilians. I think there's always peace to be had with Putin. It just is. The question is always at what cost? I think we're learning that President Trump really is serious, that he wants a deal. Otherwise, he wouldn't be as patient as he's been. Otherwise, he wouldn't have deployed, men here who are so close to him. Witkoff is a longtime friend from New York City, and Jared Kushner is his son-in-law. And it also shows that Putin feels that he, too, can get something out of, you know, receiving these gentlemen in Moscow. Now, what he gets out of it immediately is validation, because he's receiving a very high-level delegation from the White House. Personal friends of the president and family members. He gets a chance to take propaganda photos and, you know, parade them around the Kremlin and argue to them that Russia is winning the war, even though, you know, that is not true in many circumstances. They're very good at trumpeting things that aren't true. And, you know, he can push for the deal that he wants, which is namely everything on his terms, which is what we found out he asked Witkoff for in a couple of meetings ago. Namely, he would like to control all of eastern Ukraine that he now holds, and plus the rest. He'd like formal recognition of Crimea. He would like NATO to never be involved in Ukraine. He'd like to neuter the Ukrainian army. He'd like to erase the Ukrainian language and the Ukrainian culture, the idea that Ukrainians are a separate people. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if that's what he says again. Now, the twist is that, as we've learned from the Wall Street Journal news side reporting, is that he is also dangling a lot of economic incentives in front of the U.S. side. You know, and this is a strategy that China has employed for many, many decades. Essentially, what the Chinese did is they said, look, we'll have a win-win scenario. Just don't focus on anything else that we're doing. As long as we're both making money, doesn't matter if we have designs on Taiwan or if we're engaging in crimes against humanity and genocide in Xinjiang. Don't worry about all that stuff. Let's just make money together. So I think this is the playbook that Putin is rolling out. And it is notable that Marco Rubio is not on this trip, that it is Witkoff who is seen as much more, I think, friendly toward Vladimir Putin, more receptive to his ideas. And Kushner, who has, I mean, made a great success of the Abraham Accords through this business-like diplomacy. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Mary, your experience at State Department, is there institutional memory of the Cold War and of negotiating with Molotov? And the Molotov was known as Iron Pants because he could sit through anything and not make a sign that he was concerned or in any way anxious. That was then, I understand, but is it remembered at the State Department?
No, it isn't. It was a long time ago. You know, 89 and 91, those seminal dates are now many decades past.
Right.
And even in Trump one, I brought in a gentleman who was a propaganda expert in the Soviet era. He worked at Reagan's National Security Council, and I brought him in to counsel us on, you know, what were the most effective techniques that we could use vis-a-vis communist China that they used against the communist Soviet Union. The memory isn't there. In fact, many American diplomats have never really lived or remember a period where the United States was truly threatened by what was considered a peer ally, namely the nuclear-armed Soviet Union, which, by the way, is still the nuclear-armed Russia. And you don't have also political leadership at the embassy in Moscow that has any pull with the president. There's no Senate confirmed ambassador to Russia the last time I checked, which means the deputy chief of mission, a foreign service officer, is in charge. Now, foreign service officers are very capable people. They actually have usually studied the regions that they are based in. But they won't have any sway at the White House. I think they're there as sort of a placeholder until a political appointee can get into the slot. But I do think it's interesting that post hasn't really been a priority to fill for the White House personnel office.
Many years ago, I was told by someone very well informed of the pondering approach to what is to be done with our assets, meaning oil and energy, that the America desk at the Kremlin had been moved way to the back of the room and was no longer part of the concern of the fresh thinking at the Kremlin. This is before Putin made his moves begins in Georgia. So I mentioned that Russia remembers Mary very well. They moved the desk to the back of the room. There's more to do. Ukraine is on the calendar for the State Department as well. And the Secretary of State, Mr. Rubio, was in attendance in Florida of those conversations. When we come back, Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Welcome to Mortgage or Mirage. Is homeownership just a dream, or can you turn it into a reality?
I'll take competitive interest rates, stellar customer service for the win.
Correct. With Motto Mortgage, you can apply from home and turn dreams into a physical address. Apply now at mottomortgage.com.
Each office in the Modern Mortgage Network is independently owned, operated, and licensed.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.